Morning, Gilda. Good morning, everyone. We'll get started in a few minutes.
Good morning, Chris. We'll give people a few more minutes to join. There is just one big topic for today, and that's the container architecture with Srini. And then we'll also talk briefly about the logistics for the face-to-face meeting. Okay, well, why don't we get started today? First off, for the face-to-face meeting, we do have a room now. It will be the end of October, the 29th and 30th at IBM in Montreal. And Kenny will be putting together a reservation page for anyone who's going to attend. We just want you to put your name on the page when it's available so that we make sure that we have enough space. Also, Linux Foundation will be handling visa letters for anyone who needs that. Kenny's at an offsite for the next couple of days, so expect it later this week. So with that, I'd like to turn things over to Srini to talk about the container network functions.
Okay. Let me share my screen.
Thank you.
Okay, do you see it?
Yes.
On Zoom. Okay, great. Okay. So today I just wanted to give an update on what we did so far, or what we are doing in R3, and what are the potential release for items with respect to supporting container-based and VM-based VNFs using Kubernetes. The background, in the current support in the ONAP in R2, it only talks to OpenStack-based sites. Of course, it talks with different types of OpenStack sites, including upstream OpenStack, Newton, and Pike is being added in R3, Wind River Titanium, and VMware, VIO, that things of that nature, but all OpenStack variations. That's what ONAP does today. But in goals for R3 and R4 for us is, the Kubernetes-based deployments are getting popular, mainly because of containerized VNFs. There would be sites that would have Kubernetes-based controllers. So intention is to support Kubernetes-based site from ONAP. And of course, we want to support containerized VNFs or containerized any workloads like Mac applications, for example, and the support for both VMs and containers, because there will be cases where the continues to be some legacy VMs. So instead of having a combination of OpenStack and Kubernetes in a site, the Kubernetes guys started to add way to bring up virtual machines also from Kubernetes. So we want to leverage that support to use one instance of Kubernetes, both VMs and containers. Another thing for networking, the important items are basically it has to support multiple virtual networks, which is not the case in today's Kubernetes world. Typically, the typical enterprise can have one single virtual network and one single interface to that from containers. So the most of the CNIs, networking portions of Kubernetes, they all support only one virtual network and one virtual interface. But in networking payloads, typically data plane or user plane payloads, workloads, it needs to be doing some kind of routing, switching, or something like that. So you require multiple virtual networks, and a particular container or VM need to belong in multiple virtual networks. So that support also need to be there in case of networking payloads, networking world. And you also require support for the dynamic creation of these virtual networks. And then, of course, eventually we want to support, intention is to support public clouds. But many public clouds have this container as a service or Kubernetes as a service, like AWS, EKS, GCP's Kubernetes Engine or Azure's Kubernetes service. They're all basically have this kind of service now. But of course, they cannot support VMs, but they can support containers. So our intention is that these are the goals we have for starting it. We want to start something with R3 and then eventually have a end-to-end solution in R4. Okay. So from R3 perspective, what we kind of thought was that we presented an R3 subcommittee last in the beginning of Casablanca release. And at the time, we wanted to start slow and then do everything necessary in the multi-cloud service. And then any changes required in other projects can be taken up later. So as part of that, we kind of put all of our concentration on multi-cloud service. And then we kind of were creating some small test application or test service, which eventually kind of SO. This is very simple scripts really, which simulates SO and then makes calls to the multi-cloud service. And then what we did, which we are doing rather, is that today the API which is exposed by multi-cloud service to SO has heavy heat dependency. We are making some small changes in that API to make sure that it is heat independent. And with that, that API can call either OpenStack heat APIs or Kubernetes APIs. So that's the uniform API is what we are trying to achieve there. But still, it looks like heat, but some arguments to that API is changed such a way that it can work with any type of underlying services. So that is one item which we are doing. And then, of course, we are developing this Kubernetes plugin itself. At this time, since we don't have STC and SO changes in R3, we are basically kind of adding this Kubernetes YAML artifacts in the Kubernetes some directory, some volume, shared volume in the Kubernetes plugin, which Kubernetes plugin can read, and then makes calls to remote sites. And networking perspective, we are supporting the OVN controller, Flannel, and Multas when you require multiple CNIs. So that's and the operations wise, interesting is to support create, delete virtual networks and creation of some distributed router, gateways, and source NAT and DNAT in gateways. So ensuring that any container that is brought up in the site can talk to not only containers within the site but also talk to internet via gateways using SNAT, and also if somebody from internet wants to reach containers, we also do the DNAT. So all that, trying to make connectivity across, not only internal, but also external. So those are mainly two big items which belong in one app. But as part of this, when we started to do this, we also found that there are some challenges to even create the Kubernetes deployment, bare metal Kubernetes deployment. So, and then we also needed to add additional packages like Wortlet, Multa, OVN, Flannel together into this Kubernetes deployment. So we created a simple Kubernetes resource deployment kind of a installer to install all the packages across multiple compute nodes in the site easily. So it's really not a project, but we have to do this to make it simple for developers to instantiate or bring up a Kubernetes-based deployment. So another thing which we had, which we realized is that there is a Kubernetes OVN plugin in the open source, but as I mentioned before, the plugin is only meant for the enterprise containers. It has a static one virtual network created, and then any container that is brought up belongs to that virtual network by default. So there is no support for dynamic creation of virtual networks, no support for multiple virtual networks. So we basically decided to, we realized that this is something which we need to do, but still doesn't belong in ONAP. So we went to OpenSV to create this plugin project. So it is approved. So we are going to push the core changes which we made, core which we did into OPLFA project. So the 3 and 4 also we basically as part of it we realized and started to do them. And the last one is that we wanted to showcase how do we showcase everything which we are doing. That's why we took vFirewall, which is there in the VM farm today in ONAP as a demo applications, demo use cases. So we took them and then converted them as container source. That way we can bring them up in the edge or the site cloud. So those are the type of work items which we kept in mind, and then we started to work on it. We think that we will be able to complete these things in the Casablanca timeframe. And since it is not going to be part of the integration project yet, we want to really make it part of R4. So we'll continue to develop these things even beyond M4 timelines. Okay. So moving on. We wanted to showcase what are the popular container projects in open source, and then we want to make sure that at least we take one open source project and then deploy it using the work which we are doing. So we have taken EdgeX Foundry. It is meant for IoT kind of gateway kind of project. All the blue items which are shown here in the below, metadata, Mongo, these are all basically containers coming from the EdgeX project. So what we did was, our intention is basically, I think we tested a little bit here. We wanted to basically showcase the entire EdgeX deployment. And of course, there are first two steps, one time in creating the site really. But that's preparing the KDS space site using KRT, which I mentioned, that's our installer. Then register this particular site in the ONAP through that ESR. Then that is one time typically, only when you prepare the edge first time. Then the EdgeX itself is a set of container images which are there in the Docker Hub already. But we need to basically have this artifacts like YAML artifacts, Kubernetes, that deploy service YAML files. We basically kind of need, at this time, because as I said, we don't have SOSP integration yet. Somebody who needs to onboard EdgeX now need to copy those files into some particular directory in the multi-cloud service volume. And then, that is a deployment time, and of course you can instantiate EdgeX using this multi-service which we are exposing. So of course once everything is pushed, then we really need to check whether everything came up or not, and that's using some of the tests which EdgeX guys proposed to do the smoke.
Hey, Shreeni.
And then of course.
Yeah, yes. Can I ask a high level question? So we want to orchestrate. I'm assuming this is orchestrating a service that is Kubernetes based service. Okay. Excuse me. So can I take you back to the service design and creation? And before that, from a VNF SDK perspective, how do you foresee the Tasca template that gets created by the VNF SDK to be either similar or different than a service that is not Kubernetes based?
Shakar, this is from STC and VNF SDK and the SO perspective. Our interest is to do that stuff in R4. So we haven't put too much of thought, but I just want to say that the current focus is that you know, based on the cloud specific artifacts, like the way, I mean, as you know, today we have SO and ESP, and the SO is meant for services that are represented using cloud specific artifacts like Spark templates in case of OpenStack, right? And whereas VFC is meant for Tosca-based service. If the service is defined using Tosca, then VFC basically is the one which is doing the job. So we have, at this time, taken the approach of Hart-based method. So just like somebody when onboards a VNF, they're onboarding this CSAR with Hart. And in this case also, we are assuming that somebody who wants to onboard EdgeX, for example, they will create CSAR with Kubernetes YAML artifacts. So that's the approach we are taking in for now. But eventually, you are right that we need to, I mean, if the entire ONAP community goes towards Tosca, then we need to have a way to convert that Tosca-based information into Kubernetes YAML data.
Well,
so that part we are about
it. I'm not sure that you know, heat necessarily makes sense when we're going towards Kubernetes. I mean, I understand you know, for historical reasons why we're doing it, particularly when we're talking to OpenStack. But when we're talking about the wider ecosystem, we may want to go to a more neutral language.
And that's precisely the reason I'm asking the question, though, Chris. I think.
Yeah. Chris,
I think. Sorry.
What happened was that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, sorry. Just one second.
Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Srini. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying that. Yeah. Initially, that is the approach we have taken, but you know, when we came to this RSIS subcommittee meeting in Casablanca, actually, I have the. Initially, we went with the Tosca only. And then we thought that at the multi-cloud K8S plugin, we will convert from Tosca to Kubernetes API. But almost everybody said that, at that time, you know, the guys who are providing Kubernetes-based services, they do not really know about Tosca, and it is important to support Kubernetes-based artifacts, starting with YAML files. And tomorrow, maybe Helm source is what we are thinking in our
So, Srini, just to add to that point, if you recall, we had the discussions with Ericsson also, right? They're pretty vocal about this, if I recall, correct?
Yeah.
My point is slightly different, though, right? My point is from an ISP perspective, and I'll give you a very simple example. If I'm orchestrating or trying to orchestrate a firewall, from an ISP perspective, I have a service design and creation that I'm using to, going back further, right? I have VNF SDK that allows me to define the characteristics of that VNF. What goes inside ONAP is interesting, but may not be relevant. The outcome is a VNF that gets instantiated in the cloud infrastructure, regardless of whether I use Kubernetes, whether I use Etsimano, or whether I use ONAP, right? My point is, how can we make the orchestration process actually transparent to the service design and creation and to the outcome of the orchestration? Like what I have in the cloud, ultimately, what runs in the cloud is the same image of the VNF, of the firewall VNF. However, the way I get there is slightly different. But from an ISP perspective, I really don't care how I get there. So that's my point. My point, the point as whether we can use Kubernetes to, excuse me, to instantiate, to orchestrate a VNF, is interesting, but may not be too relevant because anybody can do it today. What is relevant is how can I create a service using service design creation and then decide whether I want to use Kubernetes to instantiate that service, Etsimano to instantiate the service, or ONAP to orchestrate that service.
Shankar, that is the I think we have in ONAP, we have that as a goal, right? Ultimate goal is that, you know, from the service designer perspective, you know, it should be uniform whether the VNF is going to be instantiated on Kubernetes or OpenStack or in Azure or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think as part of this project, eventually we want to go there, but whether it is an R4 or R5, that's something to be decided. But at this time, based on the feedback which we got in Casablanca time, we basically everybody said that, you know, Tosca is unknown to many people. And Kubernetes, YAML or Helm are the way to deploy this Kubernetes. And that's what VNF vendors provide today, which is true though. Even EdgeX guys, for example, or even OpenIMS or anybody, they provide either Helm charts or Kubernetes YAML files when they publish their VNFs, right? They don't publish Tosca. So that's why they said, Ericsson especially said that, you know, we really love to see Munish, I think, from Ericsson, he is very vocal on that. And he said that they like to see, just like the way ONAP is supporting the hard templates for ONAP, but it's OpenStack, same support is required. And then eventually we have Tosca-based approach. And second thing, which at the time we had very big challenges, is that Tosca is not being defined, right? I mean, even data models are being defined by ONAP community. And then we try to see what Tosca properties can be used to, leverage most of the features of Kubernetes. And we were kind of trouble making that. So keeping those two points in mind, we thought we'll first go ahead with the way S4 is doing today, and then eventually go towards what VFC is doing, which is purely Tosca based.
This is Mehmet. I have another clarification question, just maybe follow up. Certainly being able to exchange the files, file format and things like that, that's very important. Otherwise you cannot talk. And I think the maybe fundamental thing is to have the same API on both sides so that you can really be able to communicate, whether you are using Kubernetes or Tosca and so on and so forth. What that to me is the, fortunately, it also goes down to the information modeling. So you need to exchange, you need to know what the information modeling is on both sides, that information being exchanged. So I have no clue whether, how this is being worked on really both sides, so that you can, properly communicate.
Yeah, let me follow on what Mehmet is saying, this Parviz. Srini, in the past, we already established two basic things for multi-cloud and multi-cloud service. You're showing that in the blue box, which is part of ONAP, and you're putting that plugin, the Kubernetes plugin, in the green box. So back to what Shankar and Chris is saying, if you're going to really have ONAP, the integrity of ONAP here is not going to be any issue. Yeah, ONAP is going to do its normal thing, even including SDC. What you're saying here, that your multi-cloud API, in this particular example, is designed to handle the infrastructure, which is the bigger box, the bottom part, and that infrastructure today can only handle hot. It cannot handle anything else. That's what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, today it is only this.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that you cannot generalize this framework. If you go back to the previous picture, please. You cannot really, you're not saying that you cannot generalize this, as Mehmet said, to handle like Tosca and other options, because the multi-cloud service, we talked about that last time, that mm-hmm. should be able to adapt to any any data model, any template that is available through the mechanism which you guys define as part of multi-cloud adaptation layer, correct?
Yes. I mean, the answer is yes. I'm just only talking about the timeline. Timeline wise, initially, we are going ahead.
I think Srini summed it up beautifully. I mean, I think it's all the timeline and also where we see the momentum in the industry going, you know, beyond ONAP, right? Sort of those are the considerations. It's, yes, ideally, yes, we want like multi-cloud to be the translator of task or like one common language, right? Correct, ideally. But if it's taking, I mean, so long, I mean, it's not that we should be stuck on that, right? Say that's the only way to go about. We should just be pragmatic. But also the key point is like, while we're doing this, we are also making sure, I mean, there is policy involved, and then, so that means it may not be just that original deployment, like we may be able to inject something infrastructure specific, you know, on demand, right? All those capabilities will be added.
I have a question too. I think maybe it's related to Shaka. Is that, I think, what is the scope of this POC? Because I thought, in looking at, I think Shaka's question was that from SDC flowing down to multi-cloud, what does it look like? And are there any changes? And I think that your picture is showing here is really more from multi-cloud down to the various cloud providers. Is that what you're doing? Because I've seen previous materials in which you were looking at an SDC where you have a CSAR and you have EFDs and NSDs, and that is morphed into more of a, you know, a Kubernetes YAML rather than, you know, anything that is generic. I thought that was the approach that was being taken, but it sounds like, you know, the scope has changed.
So, Ranki, I agree with John, right, as well. So let me make my point clearer, right? What you're presenting over here is significant, no question about it. But ONAP is more than orchestration and service design in the SDN controller. What I'm trying to understand, and I'm not making any comment over here or any judgment, but I'm trying to understand the scope of what you're trying to present. Is the scope only confined to orchestration, or is it that fits within the existing framework? Therefore, if I have, it doesn't impact the VNF SDK, nor does it impact service design creation? Or are you proposing that by introducing the Kubernetes support that there would be either small impact or significant impact on VNF SDK as well as service design and creation?
Okay. So that's actually, I have last slide on that, what we have wanted to ask for. So we can discuss more at that time.
Fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So after scenarios, HX is one thing which we really want to prove. And then, as I mentioned, we took vFirewall, which is there in our ONAP, and converted them as containers. And again, we want to bring them up as containers in the sites. All three of them: firewall as a container, traffic generator as a container, and traffic sync as a container. And again, prove that using whatever we did so far. Then again, we also want to ensure that, as I mentioned, Kubernetes with Wartlet, you can even bring up watchable machines. So our interest is to test even this firewall service as a set of watchable machines using multiple data networks, one OAM network, and all that stuff. So that is another scenario which we are going to test. And the last one is hybrid, right? We have firewall as a container, maybe traffic generator as a VM, sync as a VM, so I ensure that there is a connectivity and they all work together. That's another scenario which we really want to test in R3 timeframe.
What is the default network, Srini? The flannel default?
Yeah, Kubernetes, you know, they require, you know, they have this liveness and keep alive and all that stuff. And they assume that there is one network common across all the containers. So we are creating that default network as expected by Kubernetes. And everything else, every other network.
Flannel uses VXLAN.
I see.
Yeah. Internally uses VXLAN. That's right.
Okay.
But there are other overlay network choices also. I mean, you can bring in your own overlay network to a CNI plugin.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you can bring your own SDN controller. Like, you know, we have VMware NSXT as a plugin, as an example.
Vovian internally uses Genevi, for example. Just like Flannel uses that's okay.
One more scopes question. If I were to use Kubernetes to orchestrate a firewall, does that mean if I have a service, let's say, for example, virtual EPC that was orchestrated using traditional ONAP, OpenStack Heat, are we expecting that these two can basically communicate with one another?
Yeah, basically the Kubernetes now has support to bring up virtual machines also, right? So if you have already, for example, OpenIMS, they have virtual machine form factor and container form factor, right? And even if it is a virtual machine form factor, today they have hot templates, and then we can create Kubernetes YAML files and then can bring up using Kubernetes. So,
but I'm saying something different. I'm saying something different. If a firewall was orchestrated using Kubernetes, right, in a container, and I want to use the firewall to basically protect a virtual EPC that was orchestrated using ONAP, you know, heat templates, right, in OpenStack. I'm asking a scope question. Sorry, it's a scope question, right? Because in reality, whether I use, it doesn't really matter whether I use OpenStack or I use Kubernetes, I would want these two VNFs to basically communicate to one another with between each other, right?
Shakar, it all depends on the overlay network provider you're using. Overlay network plugins do support it. Basically, we can seamlessly interwork, as an example, NSX can seamlessly interwork, because that will be the overlay network across your VM, cloud and the your container cloud, both. That's totally possible. It depends on what overlay network you choose.
But the only point I wanted to make is that it is there is nothing which we need to do for that purpose. It is
exactly
the existing ONAP has a way to connect multiple sites over overlay networks, and yep. Same can be leveraged here also. There's nothing else we need to do.
Hey, Srini, it's Roger. I have a strategic question for you. What is your plan here with the scope of what Kubernetes will do versus what ONAP will do? Because Kubernetes has a lot of overlapping capability. For example, if in your example here, the firewall container were to fail, who will heal it? Will it be ONAP healing it, or will it be Kubernetes healing it? So what is your end goal? What do you see as the role of Kubernetes versus that of ONAP?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Roger. That is, our intention is that to leverage as many features as Kubernetes support, right? And that's what we are, we have taken it, I showed this one here. This API, which we are talking about in the multi-cloud service, it is at the VNF level, not at the resource level, or each VM or at that level, it's a VNF level. So, same thing is leveraged that because of that, as we are saying, if the firewall container fails, Kubernetes, because of that replica count or whatever it is, so it will restart immediately here. But at the same time, our intention is that, you know, send enough information from Kubernetes all the way to ONAP. For some reason, let's say if Kubernetes could not bring up the container or could not replicate multiple instances on demand basis, and if ONAP needs to take action to bring up on some other site, in that case ONAP should know about it. My point is that if healing or if anything is required within the site, the local Kubernetes site orchestrator will take care of it. But if some healing requires bringing up in some other site, for example, in that case ONAP will come in picture.
Yeah, so you want to try to keep local management as close as possible, because let's say the network goes down, right? You still want local.
Right, I understand. But so there's implication to, for example, the change management stuff we do, right? So scale out, for example, with containers would work very differently than what it would work for VMs. So
exactly, Roger, but also we see Kubernetes actually taking on some of these problems and simplifying, right, overall. I mean, basically reducing the burden on ONAP. And that's sort of how I think we see the other VNF vendors thinking about this, who we've been talking to.
Why is it going to work differently than VMs?
No. All I'm saying, Margaret, it's actually taking on some of the problems like scale out, which was brought up, right? Basically, it has auto scale out function, itself, right? So you don't need to count on ONAP to perform it, right? ONAP says more of a, say, hey, my intent is, do an auto scale out up till so many instances, and it's automatically taken care of.
Ramki, I'm a bit confused here. I thought that your multi-cloud service API, which you are focusing on that here, that is going to really attach this infrastructure, which is the edge cloud, through the multi-cloud service API that is already in scope for ONAP. Correct? For multi-cloud. Now, all the OOM that Roger mentioned, OOM is going to include the orchestration for this infrastructure as well, because that's already defined as part of ONAP. Why not?
Wait, you got to separate this, Parviz.
This is not OOM.
Yeah.
No. Hold on. Roger, I'm not saying this is OM, but the multi-cloud API can easily connect this infrastructure to ONAP. Why not?
I think rather question is that Kubernetes at the site level itself has a lot more capabilities than a typical OpenStack. And are we leveraging those features in Kubernetes? That was the question, and my answer was yes. We want to leverage as many strategically. We want to address as many features of Kubernetes in the site. But some kind of healing or scale out is required across the site, in which case the ONAP has to come in.
Yeah. That's why I was asking. People said VMs are going to be handled differently from Kubernetes. Why should it?
Because Kubernetes has functionality built in.
Yeah,
it's an intent-based system, right?
Yeah. You scale up within
the load, and it'll do it automatically where ONAP is involved.
Oh, I see.
But that's the reason. That's the reason I asked the scope question, right? So, are you proposing? Or I shouldn't say that. I think what we should do is understand the impact on VNF SDK, service design creation, orchestration, ANAI, and the closed loop control, includes the LCM.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I was late today, but I had a question. Is just from an assumption point of view, do we plan to leverage the capabilities of Kubernetes in a good way? Like leveraging the native, because we could say, okay, ONAP can do the same as what it does for VMs, and not we don't use the full power of Kubernetes, but I don't think that people would appreciate that very much.
No, I think we need to support both ways, because it depends on the operator, right? I mean, in fact, Kubernetes is just one example. How about if you used, the Google Cloud, right? They might also do a lot of stuff.
That would tie in with Kubernetes.
Yeah, Kubernetes, yeah.
Google and Amazon have their own implementations.
I mean,
they host Kubernetes for you.
Microsoft.
At least the way to probably think about this is we should leverage minimally what is available in the open source version of Kubernetes. We should not, stop shy of it. Any advanced capabilities, go ahead and use them, right? Yeah. And then now, if it brings additional value and simplifies workflows in ONAP, yes, we should do it. Why not?
But then I think I agree with that. It'd be really good if we could sort of capture that working assumption somewhere.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So just add to that. I agree. We should really write down the assumptions. But my thinking is basically this. I think you will allow the Kubernetes to act like a SDN controller and plus the EMS, and the ONAP will act as an orchestrator. in a very high level now till you find exactly what Kubernetes is capable of doing.
I think Kubernetes would also act as an orchestrator, at least within the zone that it's controlling.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Where would the inventory be kept then?
In A&I. A&I will be having, we are actually already leveraging A&I to store enough information about various sites, what kind of cloud technology they support, and then how to reach the cloud, that particular cloud region. All that stuff is maintained in the A&I.
Sri, do we need a plugin for A&I to be able to talk to Kubernetes to know, for example, that it has deployed new containers?
Yeah.
I mean, fortunately, A&I, we basically found that, you know, pretty extensible. So we didn't have to make any changes to the A&I schema for storing this information. That's why we did not propose any patches. We just have to use the right fields there.
So it's also interesting, I think, as we walk down the goal of Kubernetes to sort of being declarative and provide abstractions, right? I don't think we should sort of get to all the details with respect to populating in A&I. I was thinking more like service, right? Kubernetes deals with service as well, and maybe that's the one we should be tracking. This is all under discussion, but I'm trying to make sure that it's as declarative as possible to ONAP, right? Use the power of Kubernetes. Don't try to get into the gory detail.
Yeah, this is a good slide. Can we, Srini, please go ahead.
Yeah. So in R4, as I mentioned, in R3, we are fully concentrating on multi-cloud service and pillow. But in R4, we want to make end-to-end. So R4 or beyond. But at this time, the first goal is that, you know, today STC and SO, from the CSAR perspective and hard compute perspective, there are kind of little bit too many places. I guess there is a assumption that there is a hard heat template in the CSAR, right? So we want to really make it independent of heat. So it could be Azure ARM, or it could be Kubernetes YAML files, or Helm, or it could be hard. So we want to make those changes into STC and SO. Amdocs, Avi, and other people already did some work, but it's not in the mainland yet, to make STC and SO independent of HART to support Azure, Azure plugin in Azure services. So we want to leverage that work and partner with them to propose changes required in the STC and SO in R4. And then whatever way the CSARs with the hard template are being designed in STC, and same way this is going to be valid now for Kubernetes also. So that is the goal at this time. And then the VFC also we really want to support. And of course, VFC, the input to the VFC is the Tosca form. So in those cases, our intention is that, you know, in the multi-cloud service, in the Kubernetes plugin, we'll take that Tosca template fragments and then convert it into whatever is required by Kubernetes APIs and the Vovian APIs. So that is also another goal we have. But again, as I said, from the timeline perspective, we are not sure whether we'll be able to achieve in R4. But based on the community, if the community can pitch in, I guess we should be able to.
Yeah, but the template that STC generates, I thought that going forward, we were going to unify that, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, but I don't think it is there yet. For example, SO in Casablanca doesn't support Tosca-based templates, right? It still supports only cloud-specific artifacts like heat templates.
Which release you're talking about? You're talking about release 3 or what?
Yeah, release 3. Maybe in the release 4, SO might have Tosca at that time. Maybe we might want to move to Tosca at that time. But as of now, SO doesn't support Tosca.
Okay, for release 3. Okay.
Yeah. And then our intention also is to, once we integrate with SO, I guess OOF automatically comes in picture. For better placement decisions. That is another having said that, the biggest goal for us is that this end-to-end functionality is what we really want to achieve in our code. And then there are some features which we really want to do, like supporting load balancers in the site, and then having some kind of telemetry gathering for closed loop control, and supporting all kinds of Kubernetes resources. Today we are only supporting deployments and services, but intention is to support for persistent volume, stateful sets, and Istio and things like that if the site have them. And then also,
Srini, have you been looking at the OPNFV Clover project that brings in some of this? It brings in Spinnaker and Istio for VNFs.
We are basically following that. We're currently observing it, but the work is still going on there. Mm-hmm. But that's again to deploy the site itself, right? So we have KRD today. Mm-hmm. Our intention is to make our KRD work with some of the installers that OPNFV is proposing, like Compass, Apex, and Airship and things like that. And at that time, we want to leverage the Clover work also to integrate together.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, earlier I was talking to the Clover team, and they didn't support Helm, right? So they weren't really very native to Kubernetes. Maybe that's changed, but it wasn't there in the past.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
And also, Srini, I think we should capture the Prometheus work also happening, right? And that will be a useful piece, I thought, for monitoring analytics.
Yeah, that's why C-Advisor is something which we want to really support. C-Advisor is basically talks to Prometheus. That's right.
Okay, yeah. And yeah. Just we can add Prometheus also. That's what I said.
Yeah, Shakar, your question is that this one, so that's really our core focus. And we'll come to the community again. Right after this RC0, RC1, we believe that we'll have some bandwidth. And at that time, we want to study what AmDocs did for Azure, and then try to figure out what is to be done, and then go and come and present again.
Okay. All right, thanks.
So the point, the second bullet, make the SO independent of cloud technology. To even today, the only thing that SO would see is those tuple, which is the zone ID and the provider ID, the cloud provider ID, correct? What else?
I know, but still, for some reason, there is some assumptions. I think maybe it's just simple code mistakes. There are some assumptions made that your meta file has hot template, and then some validations here and there somehow need to be removed properly. You know, so it's a kind of a small logical problems maybe we need to take care of. You're right. Predominantly, so within R3, they're trying to make it as very much cloud technology agnostic, but still there are some.
By the way. I cannot recall. Do we have the OOF directly talking to multi-cloud, or it has to go through SO? I guess.
SO talks to OOF, and in R3 we're also making changes to VFC to talk to OOF. So
how about the multi-cloud?
So there is go ahead, Srini. You finish, please. Yeah, I have. Finish.
Yeah,
you finish.
There is no direct connection for many use cases. Basically, SO VFC calls OOF to get the best cloud region and flavor, right? Then SO passes that information to the multi-cloud. That's how it
but
works.
But how about the capability, like SRIOV, like HPA? Ramsey,
yeah,
that's what the plan, yeah?
Yeah, that's already there in R2, right? That's already multi-cloud service discovers those capabilities from the sites. And then puts into A and I, and then OOF from the. So it's there is no direct connection. It's through A and I.
So the only the direct connection is right now a capacity check during deployment, correct?
Uh-huh.
But that's sort of not fully functional. It doesn't work with HPA use case. And as we're doing the functional decomposition, we're actually rethinking that piece, you know, what should be there and not be there, right? It's only piece where OF directly talks to multi-cloud, but Srini, I think,
Srini,
very well described the rest of the pieces.
So Srini, you said the multi-cloud would basically see the information from ANAI, and OOF and ANAI are already synced up, yeah?
Yeah. OOF and the multi-cloud, they talk via ANAI, so there is no direct connection.
Okay.
And those pieces are all like exactly like architecturally how we described it, standard discovery procedure by multi-cloud and populating ANAI, right? And then so basically then OOF using the capabilities as a filter match, right, through policy. Correct. Those are exactly as laid out in the architecture.
So again, this is where Shaker's point actually comes in the picture, because if you have the containers with some HPA capability, is that already inventoried in the ANAI? So there is no confusion there?
All the inventory currently, as ONAP guidelines say that, right? It has to be in ANAI. So anything multi-cloud service discovers from the site, right? Whether it is compute capabilities or compute nodes, all that information is placed in ANI.
But I thought that you are going to, Srini, I thought that some of the container aspects are going to be only regional, local, and ONAP is not engaged in managing or tracking that. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think Roger's question, right? Basically, essentially, there is, that is at the runtime, right? And runtime, if there is something can be done at the local level, and we want Kubernetes to do that at the local level, and then that is a little bit orthogonal to the inventory question, right? Inventory is basically anything we discover from ONAP perspective, from the sites. Those things need to be kind of placed in ANI repository.
But also, Parviz, the point to note is the way the ANI inventory is represented is just key value pass. It can be any object. It's not necessarily like a gory detail like SROV. For example, for cloud agnostic intent, we're actually just populating intent in the ANAI database, right? Sort of the way it will get used with Kubernetes. I mean, it will not necessarily involve every gory detail of every hardware capability.
But there are going to be cases where you're going to need those details.
Oh, yeah, sure. But we'll support both. I mean, yeah. The way we designed the schema was very flexible, like key value pairs. You can encode what you want. It's up to the user to, you know, populate it to the way they want it and use the way they want it. Right?
But we're going to have to align on abstractions so we can have, the abstractions consistent across the different cloud types. But then when we need to know the details of an instance within a cloud type, we can make that happen. So ANAI has the ability to play the PaaS role as well as understand those details where it has to have them.
Yeah, exactly. And also the SO multi-cloud API is also designed very well. It can be gory or it can be abstracted. It's all done well, thought through.
Hi, Srini, may I ask you one question regarding the wave descriptor difference between the phase one and phase two? So for phase one, I heard you are using the Kubernetes, YAML as an artifact, whatever, using the Tosca hot template or Tosca native, MFI template. But for your phase two, are you suggesting to using the Helm chart as an artifact, but using the YAML as a native web descriptor? So I don't see the difference. Can you elaborate a little bit here?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk to a few VNF vendors, right, many support native Kubernetes YAML format as artifacts, but some started to support the Helm artifacts also. For example, Metaswitch, Clearwater, OpenIMS, they do support both, they provide both YAML files as well as Helm charts. And more and more we see that people are also providing Helm charts for their VNFs. So our intention is to support both kinds in R4. In R3,
Kenny, is this Johnny? Is this something that we need to specified in the VNF SDK. If we want to support Helm, then we should specify that, right?
Yeah, that's something we would need to consider. We currently don't do anything with Helm and VNF SDK. There'd be the part, I think, that the vendor's deploying, and then there's probably some site local configuration that we'd want to apply also. Whether we do that all in VNF SDK, we can validate what the vendor is sending in, and then we may have to add to it before it goes into the rest of the system.
I think, Chris, in this area, there's a mix between the technology-specific part with the Helm there, and also the, let's say, the technology-independent part and the hookup to the overall orchestration with the Tosca and the Solzo 01.
Yep.
It would be great to get some guidance from the modeling committee on that, actually.
Yeah, we do. But Srini, may I continue to ask you a question here? Since you have a couple of different artifacts like Kubernetes YAML and also Helm chat, and also we are doing the like SDC, the Wave Descriptor, like internal model, and also we have the LCMV Wave Descriptor as the artifact as well. So in that case, we do at least like three or four artifacts for the such kind of Wave application. Is that right?
I didn't get everything what you said, Dengvi. So, I mean, you are right that if you look at any service, right, any end-to-end service, it could have multiple VNFs, right? And each VNF will have its own CSAR file with artifacts, right? Yeah, it is. Our intention is to kind of support in a service. If you have multiple VNFs, one VNF may be represented using Kubernetes YAML artifacts. Another VNF may be represented using Helm chart as artifacts, and maybe third VNF in future might support a Tosca-based VNFDs. Right. So, intention is to support all of them, but we are kind of prioritizing CSAR with. Tosca YAML files or CSAR with Helm charts.
Okay. I agree. So we have same opinion about here. Just last clarification here. Are you saying the Helm charts will be under the Kubernetes YAML artifact, or are they two in parallel artifacts?
Yeah, independent. They're independent. Yeah, that's
okay. Right. That makes sense. Okay, thank you. Okay.
However, they're almost the same, right? Helm charts and the YAMLs are very, very much alike.
Yeah,
that's different. Anyway, okay.
But even though they're...
I have a wide strategic question for ONAP, right? So we have now, with working with Kubernetes, observed that the Kubernetes orchestrator is kind of like a fancy VNF manager, right? A container VNF manager. But we have that functionality built into SO. My question is, should we as a community consider changing how OpenStack gets orchestrated by using an orchestrator like Tacker, for example, and try to change what SO does so that it's only operating at this higher level and it's not operating at all on the individual artifacts?
But this is a scope issue though, Roger, right? I mean, this is back to the question that I raised earlier, right? It's not only an individual component, but as a community, we need to figure out how we want to orchestrate the service and take it step by step from VNF SDK all the way out to the orchestration process.
Right, that's why I'm bringing it up, right? It's a pretty wide end-to-end change, right?
Exactly. So
orchestrated by SO, and that Kubernetes or Tacker or other components will actually be the low-level orchestration, and that the job of SO is a higher-level job of stitching all those pieces together, making sure all the networking's done and the end-to-end policies are applied and it does closed loops, then that's a different scope. But it does open us up to that question when we start to consider a powerful technology like Kubernetes.
Absolutely.
There's one of challenge I can imagine at the moment about the Tacker is they are not supporting the standard Tosca MV profile is very, I mean, they were all Tosca profiles. So this could be one of the challenges for us to handle that.
So, what Roger brought up was a very good point. In fact, ONAP could play a key role in helping the transition happen. So, for example, if you look at all the open source efforts, they're still sort of, you know, around OpenStack, but we could say we support a hybrid model where we can support the most powerful orchestrator like Kubernetes, and also sort of the traditional ones like VMware, OpenStack, right, which are operating at a much lower level. And we could actually help in the transition because the VNF transition is slowly happening, right? I mean, it's slowly and steadily happening. It's not like just today, like everything is being containerized. But of course, applications are, you know, it's already containers, right? So all those considerations.
Okay, I think there are two points which really brought up today, you know, which at the ONAP level need some kind of guidance, right? One is, as Steve mentioned, you know, there are three different ways, you know, orchestration can be specified. One is, you know, the way FO is doing today, that is cloud-specific artifacts in each CIFAR, and then having, you know, this BBMN-based orchestration to create an end-to-end service, right? And that is second one is purely Tosca. That is, Tosca is used for service-level definition as well as VNFP-level definition. That is what, I guess, the VFC is doing. And the third thing is that the hybrid approach, right, where you have Tosca-based service-level orchestration definition, but VNFDs are specified using cloud-specific fashion. So I guess today, first two are supported today. Like SO does BBMN level service level orchestration with CIFARs with cloud-specific artifacts as VNFDs, and VFC supports pure Tosca. But the third one is maybe the right, maybe also need to be supported. These are something which we need to decide.
Srini, can you repeat the third one?
Third one is basically you specify, it's not pure Tosca, it's Tosca is only for end-to-end service level orchestration, but each VNFD is specified in a cloud specific fashion.
But I would have said the third one there, that the VNFD is still, part of it is still specified in Tosca. You could still do that, and then you keep alignment with, for example, SOL001, but you have a way of encapsulating and referring down to the technology specific parts, which I would have thought would align a little bit with the presentation I saw from Multivim regarding the way of handling Azure, where there was sort of like a discussion about let's say enabling the technology specific artifact to be sort of transported as well.
Okay. So what you're saying is that Tosca is not only for service level orchestration, but also
the wrapper and the hook into the service level orchestration, so that that way the service orchestration level really shouldn't care about whether you let's say your VM orchestrated or your Tosca or your container based or your whatever comes next, right? I mean, that's just a complication of the service level you don't need to worry about. So let's encapsulate that. Kind of hook that up with the same technology, and then per VNF, where this is very specific, is where you sort of open the box on that question.
Steve, another way to think about this is, I mean, if you look at a declarative infrastructure orchestrator, Kubernetes, SO can do a handoff, right? So basically, there is, of course, network services Tosca, but after that, you can hand off the entire VNFD, right? You know, you don't need to interpret it actually yourself, right?
It's all a complete hand. But there is a hook into, there is some basic things you might want to hook into. It might be also related to the inventory and the topology there, but without going into too much of the details.
Right. Yeah, fair point. But yeah.
But I'm not a modeling expert. We have modeling experts to deal with this.
Of course,
you're not an expert on anything, you can just be quiet.
We have to sort of take SOs and VFC with respect code, right, where they are. So, don't know.
Okay, I think we are talking a little bit beyond the containers now. So I think I'll stop my share. Thank you.
Hey, Sweeney, one comment at the last bullet item, the last paragraph or the last block, end-to-end functionality. Should we add VNF SDK?
Okay, I'll make that change.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Sreeni, when you're done with this, will you please post your slides and let me know where they are so I can link to it?
Yeah, sure. I'll upload it to the contributions page. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
I want to make sure we assign the item to Chris.
And Sreeni, we can also talk to you offline also. Support for VMware products will decide what it is. We can put mostly testing.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is definitely an interesting topic. I hear we need a little bit more work to talk more about the end-to-end. So let's talk about that on an upcoming call. But I think this was a very useful. Thank you, Sreeni, for your presentation. Let's see, that's my agenda for today. Are there any other topics that people want to bring up while we're still together?
Hey, Chris, one item you mentioned, that the Clover project is missing, actually Roger mentioned that is missing the support for Helm, yeah?
Yeah, they support it kind of, but it's not what they're doing natively.
So is this a trigger for the Clover project to work on this, or that is a no issue?
It's on their roadmap, so it's something that they're already engaging with.
Yeah.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So very good. I'll end this a bit early today. I'll give you back about 50 minutes in your day. Thank you all for the conversation, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.